Well, so much for that. It's the news, according to me. Good morning, November 10th, 8:23 a.m., 2022. My throat is still just a little bit raspy. So you have to deal with that. You'll have to deal with that. I don't have to listen to myself. You have to listen to me. I plug my ears. I'm not sure what's coming out of my mouth. I know what's going in my mouth, and it's what everybody wants to know. It's the thing that everybody wants to know is what's in my cup. I only have one cup this morning, but it is a full cup. See if you can guess what's in my cup this morning. I was gonna have a backup cup because I just discovered that we have about a gallon and a half of apple cider up there. And I was going to pour myself a glass of that, and I didn't. Probably should have, but I didn't. So I have in my cup a cup of chai, of course, with my Cinnabon creamer. My voice is a little better today. I do a little thing called neti pot. I'm not going to describe what that is for those of you who don't. Might be eating breakfast right now. I don't want you or lunch possibly. I don't want you to toss that up. Some people are really grossed out by it. It's a nasal wash. Let's put it that way. I was having all kinds of issues, sinus issues. Did the old neti pot a couple times yesterday, and I slept like a baby last night. Woke up every hour crying, wanting something to eat. I did sleep really well last night. Until the wife apparently stirred the cat. I don't know what happened. I don't know, but the cat somehow got involved with the morning routine here somehow, and the cat was wanting to be petted and kept getting in my face and jumping around and crawling around and just had to be petted. Of course, then we start petting him, and then he wants to play. But to him, play means scratch your eyes out and bite your fingers and scratch, you know, whatever you can do. So that was fun. My wife and I are going to a black tie event this Saturday. It's becoming quite the event in our household right now. It's first and foremost on all of our things to do right now. I had a million other things to get done before the snow flies on Saturday. But apparently, this black tie event is more important than all that. So, in the process of trying to figure out if I was going to get a tuxedo or not, because it's a black tie, I'm supposed to have a tuxedo, I guess, for this. I don't own a tuxedo. I barely own a suit. I probably wear a suit maybe once a year, maybe at the most, on average, probably less than that. Now, unless you consider I wear more of a uniform. It's not really a suit. I don't call it a suit. It's just a uniform thing. There is a jacket involved sometimes. But I was looking up the true meaning of the black tie thing, the whole thing, how you're really supposed to dress for a black tie. And I think it's become this cliche to say black tie in our society, especially in this area. Black tie doesn't really mean black tie, but it's because when you look into what you're really supposed to be doing for a black tie event, I think it's just people just want to pretend like that, like it's an important event. This is a black tie event. It's important. So, you know, people show up wearing a black tie. That's not what it means, by the way. It doesn't just mean that you wear a black tie. Oh, there's this whole thing. You know, the tuxedo has to have certain attributes. It's very important, according to some people. And of course, the whole reason for this black tie thing is that you can be dressed just like everybody else. Everybody's dressed the same. That's what's important about it, is that everyone's dressed the same. Everyone follows the rules and everyone's dressed the same. And therefore, all that's left for you is there's no competition in the way everybody looks. It's just because you can't have color. You can't add color. You can't do this. It's just all about you. Yeah. What? No, I don't think so. I think this is about you showing up to a black tie event. Look at me, everyone. I'm at a black tie event. I don't know. I've heard some pretty elaborate excuses for people in their hoity-toityness. If everyone wants to be dressed the same, then why not just say jeans and a white t-shirt? Blue jeans and a white t-shirt. That's all you're allowed to wear. That way everyone's dressed the same and everyone's welcome. Because a lot of people own jeans and a white t-shirt. So you become this, it's this exclusivity thing that kind of bothers me. I mean, it's, don't get me wrong. I realize it's, especially for women, it's fun to dress up and play dress up and do all the fancy stuff. And, oh, look at us. We're having fun with this. I get all that. I just don't. It seems snooty to me. I don't know any other way to put it. It seems upper class pretending, or middle class pretending to be upper class. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it that's just, I don't know. So there you go. Yeah, in other news, it looks like we're going to, you know, I've got to get this Tux thing figured out for Saturday. She's helping me with that because taking the time to do it was going to be, I don't have a suit that would be suitable. It's suitable. I could just, you know, but it's not suitable. It's not proper. Viewership. I was going to talk about viewership, or listenership, I should say. Listenership has kind of been up lately. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the election stuff or if it's something else or just kind of a viral thing happening. There is a virus going around. But I don't know if, I don't know why there's, the listenership has been up. And I'm really seriously considering going back to possibly a live video feed. Or at least a recorded video feed. Of course, I'll still be doing the podcast. The audio part will still be available, but I may be recording that part of it. Now, having said all that, let's get into some headline stuff. Carrie Lake. Well, first, let's talk about Gretchen Whitmer up here in Michigan. There's so many things to talk about. Let's talk about Michigan here for just a minute. Now, I don't think. Let me put it this way: I'm pretty sure there was nefarious activity going on. Especially in the Detroit area, Pontiac area, that area, a lot of funny business was going on there. It was a preemptive. I can't believe that Gretchen Whitmer won by the. I can believe she won. I cannot believe she won by the amount that she won by. Now, whether or not she won legitimately or not is, I have doubts. And I know it's illegal for me to do so. It's illegal for me to doubt something in this country now. Somehow I become an insurrectionist, or I become some kind of morbid troll by questioning the results of an election, which they preemptively did on the left. That's okay for them because democracy is at stake. It's on the ballot. The Senate is still unknown. This is day two after the election. And we still don't know. This is like a third world. This is worse than most third world countries. Third world countries. You know, this country, when we used to have paper ballots, you'd know the results of the election by the next morning. Everybody knew, though. By the next morning, everybody knew. Now in our modern society, it takes a lot of time to count all these votes. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. So, we have the interesting things happening here. There's a lot of things at stake for the Democrats, and they know this. And this is one of the biggest things that they are scared to death of are the Senate hearings. Now, they know their way around Senate hearings. All they have to do is say, I can't answer that question on the grounds that may incriminate me. I'm not going to answer any of these questions. I do not recall, Senator. I cannot remember. I don't know. I don't remember what it was said. That's not the way I remember it. I can't answer that. There's an ongoing investigation. I've been told not to answer those questions. Whatever it is, they do all this stuff, and then nothing happens. McCarthy. Let's talk about McCarthy. Let's get back to this Michigan thing. So what happened in Michigan? I don't know. All we know is Gretchen Whitmer now is still the dictator of Michigan. You can't tell me that woman is that popular. There's no way on the planet. But she won. Will I accept the results? Sure, whatever. If I lived in Michigan, would I accept the results? I'd probably be a little bit more active about it. I would have been involved in the election a little bit more. The issue we've got out in Arizona right now, this is something that the mainstream media is not going to tell you this. But here's the big pony in the room that nobody's talking about. Katie Hobbs, who's running against Carrie Lake. Katie Hobbs is the state elections chief, and she will not recuse herself from that position. Do you see a little conflict of interest here? And of course, these are the people who want Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from any decisions on the Supreme Court because he has a white wife that's white, who happens to be pro-life. She has one engagement, one involvement with a pro-life organization, and all of a sudden Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself from any decisions made by the Supreme Court over Roe v. Wade. But this woman is she's in charge of the elections in Arizona. She's the elections chief and will not recuse herself from that position, even though she's running for the very office that she's overseeing. But that's okay, because she's a leftist, and you're not going to hear anything from the mainstream media about that. Now, I did miss one point there about Michigan, the attorneys general in Michigan. Most of the elected board members in the governor's branch are all in cahoots with Gretchen. They all have something to hide up there. They were flat out lying to people prior to the election. I only shut down the schools for 3 months, and then she smiles about it. No, was quite much longer than that, actually. A lot longer than that, actually. Just because she didn't mandate it. All I remember was things were shut down for so long that I was concerned about my boat being up there in Michigan. I was storing it there for the winter. And I was not going to keep it there for the summer because I was concerned about what might happen. No way I'm going to spend all that money storing it up there all year and not be able to use it. So as soon as I got in the water, I was out of Michigan and didn't go back until the fall. I do still store it up there, not in the same place, a little closer to Indiana. But I don't keep it there in the summertime. Don't trust her, and I don't think a lot of people do. If you look at the state and all the counties that went red, but then where these big conglomerate population zones are, it's solid blue, and that's where it's really easy to do nefarious things, to do the shenanigans, as they call them. Funny how that works out like that. But I digress. So I'll get back to this Carrie Lake thing in Arizona. So I don't know. I'll just take a quick look here. See what we can find, like recent news. Let's see what the most recent thing is Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs. Let's see what's going on here. Recent news, Katie Hobbs leads, of course, Carrie Lake in Arizona governor's race. You can't tell me Katie Hobbs is winning that. There's no way in the world. There's going to be legal battles in this one. Here's the thing. The longer this stretches out, the more, of course, there's never an increase in Republican votes found somewhere. It's always this increase in Democrat votes. And if you try to disqualify any of these Democrat votes, like, well, you don't have signatures on any of these, you don't have dates on any of these, which is required by law. Well, you got to count them anyway. That's what Fetterman was suing for in Pennsylvania. Well, if they're not filled out right, you still have to count them. Oh, because your little people there in your back room that are making up all these ballots can't fill them out properly? This is according to, Yahoo News, I guess. Eric Cortelessa. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Republican candidate for Arizona, Governor Carrie Lake. Talks to journalists after voting on November 8th. A day after the polls closed, the Arizona governor's race remained neck and neck with both Democrat. They actually said Democrat, not Democratic. With both Democrat Katie Hobbs and Republican Carrie Lake waiting for hundreds of thousands of ballots to be counted. But as the final batches of votes are tallied, there remains a possible legal fight looming in the days, weeks ahead. Katie Hobbs widens lead in Arizona governor's race as Republican doubts results. You cannot tell me this woman is winning. Are you kidding me? A member of Lake's legal team who requested anonymity tells Time that a subject matter of a lawsuit could be the counting of the ballots and the monitoring of the counting. They wouldn't say whether any specific suits were planned as of yet. Such an action could ultimately focus on the final batches of ballots, roughly 275,000 mail ballots that were delivered in person on Election Day that will be counted on Thursday and published later that evening. So they're going to be counted today. As of Wednesday evening, Hobbs, Arizona Secretary of State, was leading Lake by a little more than 13,000 votes, with roughly 70% of the ballots counted. Hobbs took a commanding lead on Tuesday night after winning the early mail-in votes by roughly 14 percent points. Lake then closed the gap through her lead with... This is really bizarre. Through her lead with votes who cast ballots in person on Election Day. This is why early voting... Why is it that Democrats seem to be the ones who always early vote? I know a lot of Republicans who have early voted. You see, there's more opportunity for shenanigans to occur when you have this month-long prior to the election day voting process going on. Well, you don't want to disenfranchise anybody. That's, you know, sometimes life is not always fair. Sometimes you can't make it to the ballot box on voting day. Sometimes you know, a month ahead of time, you know, if your life just doesn't work out for it that way, it just doesn't work out. That's going to happen on both sides of the aisle. It's just ridiculous. MSNBC was making a big deal out of the fact that Gretchen Whitmer won by such a large margin in Michigan. I think one of their headlines was, well, Ron DeSantis needs to see that if he thinks he's the big winner on Tuesday, then he needs to look at Gretchen Whitmer. No, No, MSNBC guys, all you hanyaks out there. What just happened to my page here? It just went nuts. Just changed. Yahoo News. Veteran Republican after DeSantis win. Trump is done. A tabloid that's long been one of Donald Trump's favorite reads declared Governor Ron DeSantis the future of the GOP following his re-election in Florida. We're going to talk about this a little bit. Let me get into that in a little bit. We're also going to talk about Elon Musk. There's a huge mess going on over Twitter right now, as if it matters, but we're going to talk about it. So this whole thing with Gretchen Whitmer. Well, no, you see, because this is different. Ron DeSantis was the governor of a swing state. Miami-Dade County was always red. I'm sorry, always blue. He turned it red. It was a overwhelming surge of redness in Florida. Michigan has not really been considered a swing state. It has been a blue state for a long time, which is because why it, you need to go visit Detroit and see why. Spend 20 minutes there, you'll figure out that it's a Democrat-run city. And Gretchen Whitmer didn't really turn over any strongholds anywhere. Very different situation. She was not running against a well-established politician. So let's talk a little bit about the Ron DeSantis Florida thing. This Republican, veteran Republican, Trump is done. That's your opinion. You don't seem to understand. Yes, there are a lot of people who would vote for DeSantis. I think that he would be a good candidate. But this idea that Trump is done, I think DeSantis isn't going to run for president if Trump runs. DeSantis will stand down. That's my opinion. I don't think DeSantis or Trump, either one, wants to see a big riff in the Republican Party. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Now, Trump came out and said, I know some things about Ron DeSantis. I don't think he should run. I think it'll be a big mistake. Now, that you could consider that a shot over the bow. Like, I dare you. I'm going to bring all this stuff up. I'm going to make mincemeat out of you. I don't know that that's what's going on. I think that this might be a little bit of a ruse that they're playing with the fake news media. The fake news media would love nothing more than to see a riff in the Republican Party and have Donald Trump in the middle of it. And if you don't think Donald Trump knows that, he's very much aware of that. And he will play them in the middle of that somehow. So I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. I don't know. Now, I think it's a big mistake. If he is pushing down that road and he's going to threaten DeSantis and start to pull apart the party this way, I don't know if that's going to work. However, I do know that I believe Trump has a game plan that he's going to put in place once he gets into office. I think that he's setting up this, which could be dangerous. All the things that the Democrats have been saying, that they could be creating a monster based on the way they've treated him. However, I don't think so. I think the monster is the Democrat Party. They are projecting all these things that they say Trump is going to do are the things they've done. It's in their mind to do those things. When someone else is paranoid about you doing something, it's probably because they would do it themselves if they were in your position. Typically, that's kind of the way it works. I've had people accuse me of planning to do things, or that I was going to do something, or that I was. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I never would have thought of doing those things. But they thought of them, and they projected that onto me because that's what they would have done if they were in my position. And that's what the Democrats do. That's what the leftists are doing. And somehow the GOP establishment thinks, well, all we need to do is make nicey-nice and show that we're going to be somebody needs to take the leadership here and be the mature ones and act like normal adults in the room. You're expecting the kids, the children, to somehow grow up. Nancy Pelosi is a 12-year-old who's trying to pretend like she's a 15-year-old. You're dealing with children, and if you think she's ever going to grow up, they're making all this big news about what Trump said about Pelosi's husband. Well, they're coming out and joking about it. How disgusting, how ridiculous and disgusting. These people are disgusting. They're calling them animals. I guess Trump had a conversation with Nancy Pelosi, and Trump basically said he called this guy an animal. She said, oh, no, he's not an animal. She goes, yes, he's an animal. But then he goes, but, you know, Nancy's kind of an animal, too. Well, yeah. Of course, he's terrible. How dare he come out like that after the man gets his head beat in with a hammer, and he comes out and makes light of it, makes fun of it, makes a joke. Well, first of all, Mr. High on Your Horse, Mr. Moral Standard Joe, Morning Joe, and your weird wife, Mika, who, you know, obviously runs the show over there. He's coming out with all of his high moral ground statements about how disgusting and how pathetic and how this is a guy who, by the way, a woman died in his office a while back. Never was really investigated. She accidentally hit her head. Not sure what happened there. Maybe you could fill us in on that, Morning Joe. Yeah, these people are absolutely pathetic. So, DeSantis. I don't believe he's going to run unless Trump steps down. I think people are putting Ron DeSantis in a very awkward situation right now. You know, they're basically trying to draft him. They're trying to push him into the idea that he's going to run for president. Could he defeat Trump? I don't know. In the primary? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. And I'm not sure what it would do to the Republican Party if he did run against him. It would be a very heated battle, let's put it that way. Be interesting. But I think it would rip apart the nation in terms of... I think weird things are going to happen. Now, along with that, weird things are going to happen. Let's stay on the right now on the subject of politics for just a moment. Talk about Kevin McCarthy. Now, you know, I think most of you who have listened to this program, you know I don't have a lot of good things to say about Kevin McCarthy. I don't know that he's a whole lot better than Nancy Pelosi in terms of him being a fake and a phony and a little bit of a power-hungry He, look, When someone is the House Minority Leader, they have a lot of power with regard to PAC money and other things, committees, bringing things to the House floor. They have all this power, even as a minority leader. At some point, a lot of the people who follow behind that leader become, at some point, they become beholden to them. When they step into the speakership, they become even more beholden to them. Most of you, if you remember John Boehner, when he was Speaker of the House, he got elected in again, another term, and there was some opposition. There were some people who ran against him as Speaker. And it was very strange to see some of the people who voted for him. My local official here, my local congresswoman, voted for him. And I was a little bit appalled by that. Now, the next time it came around, I believe he either resigned or stepped down. Whatever happened to him there. And of course, after that, he admitted that he had an alcohol problem. Some other issues. But people were a little bit infuriated that he got voted in again. And were surprised by some of the people who did vote for him. And again, this is because they're paying back favors that were given to them. He's cashing those checks, the favor checks. Kevin McCarthy is in that position right now of power, and he can control the purse strings on a lot of people's election funds, election campaign funds for 2024. I guarantee you he was actively involved in directing those funds in 2022. And of course, he actually, in my opinion, manipulated some of those funds to hurt MAGA people behind the scenes. I know that Mitch McConnell did. Mitch McConnell needs to retire. I think if he is elected in again this time, I don't think he's not going to see his next term through. If he becomes House Majority Leader in the Senate, he is not going to fill out his next term. Just be clear on that. I don't think he was up for election this time, so I'm not sure exactly when his term runs out. I should look that up. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell. Let's see what his. He's a senator from Kentucky. In office from January 3rd, 2007, January 3rd, 2015. Well, this isn't really up to date, isn't it? Yeah. How far down does this go? It goes all the way back to August 15, 1967. Senate Minority Leader. It's an incumbent official portrait, 2016. Chuck Schumer in office, 23rd in January. So, yeah, apparently 07 to 15. Let's see, they served 7 years. So, 22. Yeah, he'll be up again. He should have been up for election. He should have been up for election this year. Or was he up? Was it during the general? He was up. So he's got 4 more years at least. Probably 4 more years. So the question is, will he even make it that long? He was born. Born February 20th, 1942. Okay, Mitch McConnell is 80 years old now. 80 years old. Yeah. I don't think he's going to make it much more into that. He needs to be stepping down. Now, there have been senators that have gone longer than that, no question about it. But Secretary of Labor, Mitch McConnell is married to Elaine Chao, Chinese, from 2015 to 2019. She was the Secretary of Labor and the Secretary of Transportation. Yeah. No ties to China there, though. Anyway. I'm sure there's no nefarious activity going on there. Nothing behind the scenes. Nothing to see there. So what we have here is this issue of whether or not I believe Congress is going to be taken over. I do believe they're going to lose the House. No question about this. I think that right now Republicans inch closer to a narrow House majority Wednesday, while control of the Senate hinges on a few tight races in a midterm election that defied expectations of sweeping conservative victories driven by frustration over inflation and Joe Biden. But here again, let's talk about the reason why there was not a blue wave. Or not a red wave, I'm sorry. Why the blue resistance managed to, for a couple different reasons here, first of all. One issue is the media. Two, second issue is the joke of an election integrity we've got going on. And three, the Republicans, this is probably the biggest one. You can't run an election. You've got to have something for people. People need to vote for something. They can be pretty well hurt in the pocketbook. And of course, with all the talk of this is going to be a huge red wave, of course, nobody gets out and votes because they're going to win anyway. I'm not going to vote because, the Republicans are going to win anyway. It's going to be a tsunami here. We're going to see this big, huge. Everybody's going to be out there voting against this. And then nobody does because everybody thinks everybody else is doing it. It's kind of one of the tricks that the media plays as well. They play those kinds of mind games. On top of that, you have this issue of the Republicans, the establishment did not come out with a good plan. And this is, all I remember is Kevin McCarthy going, he sticks his lips out and talks to you like a child, like you're a 10-year-old. We are going to repeal recession. We're going to repeal inflation. We're going to repeal these things, and we're going to have some investigations into some things, and then we're going to make life better for everybody. We're going to repeal this and repeal that. That has not always worked. Give us some things. Now, I get it. I understand what they're trying to do. But their basic message that came across to the American people, in my opinion, this is how I think they came across, vote for us because we're not them. That rarely works. Now, supposedly it worked for Joe Biden in 2020. Vote for me. I'm not him. I'm just this guy in a basement, which I think everybody was hoping was going to be a moderate, even the GOP establishment. And Britt Hume probably is a little closer to the establishment than what you might think. Britt Hume is very much an establishment Republican type guy. He sees the old days of the Joe Biden who got along with Mitch McConnell. And they can do it again. No, he's a centrist. He's a moderate. No, he's not. He's an empty suit. And this whole idea that there are any moderates left, even if there are, they have to shut up. Joe recently came out, he was asked about this whole thing with Elon Musk, and he didn't know what to say. Well, I think that there's some things, it was painful to watch. It took him 5 minutes to get the answer out. And basically what he said was, I think that there's some things about Elon Musk's activity with other countries that need to be looked into. Oh, wait, you're talking about yourself, Joe? Or are you talking about Elon? Well, Lon pretty much lives a public life. All the business dealings that go on with other countries, we pretty much know all about them. He's pretty open about those things, by the way. Nothing new there. What Joe does is all behind the scenes and all undercover. Now, let's talk for a moment about Twitter and Elon and what's going on there. Twitter has an Achilles heel, and I don't even know. Surely Elon has to be aware of this, and I just don't know. I think that the months ahead up until January. Now, if he allows certain individuals to come back onto Twitter, there is going to be a huge outcry from this particular administration. You're going to see a crackdown like you've never seen before and a destruction of Twitter. And I don't know that Elon is fully cognizant of just how mean, how terrible these people are that he's dealing with. He's always voted Democrat, by the way. He said he wasn't encouraging that this time on the 2022 election, but he's been more of a leftist, I wouldn't say a radical leftist, but he's been more of a leftist guy. Kind of a socialist mentality, European socialist. Now, here's the problem. Twitter is in the app stores. It has a platform. And if that platform decides to just cancel him, we're going to cancel Twitter. Twitter's no longer available in Google Play or the App Store. The AWS that backs the whole thing, the whole platform is built on. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's built on its own platform. I don't know. Maybe Twitter is its own thing. Has nothing to do with Amazon or any other companies that are running, internet platforms. Now, could Elon basically build his own? Yeah, he absolutely could. He probably already has his own with the Starlink system and all that, everything he's doing with that. He probably has something outside of AWS, I would assume so. And maybe they all know that he could just very easily take everything from there and place it on his own system or another system. The system itself doesn't take that much to put together. It's in terms of funding. I'm sure he could do it for less than $1 billion. And maybe that's his plan. Maybe his entire plan is to eventually, which I believe is, he's got like a 5-year plan. He had this bigger plan involved, and by buying Twitter, it was going to cut the time involved in getting it done by years. However, I think with the opposition he's going to face, it may be more. There's this little thing on Twitter called a blue check mark. The blue check mark is interesting in itself because it was a way for people who are verified to communicate with each other. It's like this upper echelon, this upper class within Twitter society. Sandy Cortez was all upset that all these common folks were showing up in her Twitter feed because all she wanted to see was the blue verified people. Well, now anybody who pays $8 or whatever can get a blue check mark. So Twitter kind of got, or I should say Elon kind of got himself into a mess over there because it's not going well. First, they were going to roll it out at $20-some, and it became this $8 a month thing, and then it was something else. Now they're talking about having different tiers of blue check marks. It's become this real screwy thing, but there's got to be a fair way of doing this without, and I think that's what Elon wants to have, is basically he wants to have a way of verifying who people are, just real people, not bots. That's the whole point of this whole thing, because there are millions of bots on there. I think I still have let's go to Twitter here real quick and just see what my feed looks like. I haven't even been on Twitter for years, but what seems like years. Twitter.com. Let's see if it'll even sign me in. I don't know. Oh, yeah, look at there. Sign me right in. Let's see. Yeah, maybe not. sign up here. I'll sign in here with, I'm not sure this is my, No, I don't want to create an account. What am I doing here? Sign up with phone organizer, sign in with Apple. Huh, sign up, sign in. I don't see a sign in. It's just, I don't see anything. I don't know. Login. Here we go. There's a login button. Yeah, see, it's not giving me any way to do that. I don't think that's going to work. Yeah, it's, there we go. Let's see if that one works. Hey, by golly, got me in. My computer remembers things that I, yeah, okay, whatever. Oh, look at there. I actually have a couple people at the top there that are blue check marks. Everybody's a blue check mark now. Oh, here we go. We've got a fight going on. This is a Chinese posting Twitter. This is a, kind of like a bot type thing. Yeah, okay. When you have somebody beating, now this teacher's trying to stop this fight. There are people trying to stop this fight. So one just walks over and starts beating this other girl to death. That's nice. That's allowed to be on Twitter. You know, that's nice. Yeah, other things going on here. We have, mostly blue check marks. That's all I've got. I wonder if that's what I got my thing set to. All I see is blue check marks now. Oh, here's Sarah Carter. I still can't figure why Gretchen Whitmer was reelected, because her authoritarian COVID policies destroyed lives, harmed children, etc. She is the worst. But Michigan residents voted for her again. What does that tell you? A creepy holiday video. Yeah, there's weird, interesting stuff here. No other flight attendant is going to tell you this, but since I quit, I have nothing to lose. If you travel on Fridays, never, daily staff, flight attendants share 45 dark things. That's one of those crazy things right there. I feel 100% certain I'm going to win. This is Carrie Lake talking to Tucker. We're only down by a few thousand votes right now. When those votes come in, we're going to see a lot of liberal minds blowing up. So there's 270,000 votes being counted today. And I believe this was yesterday. So yeah, we'll see what happens with all that. Be interesting to figure all that out. In the meantime, congratulations, Governor, on his tour. I'm very proud of you. Baywatch cast. Yeah, there we go. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, some of those people have not aged well, to say. If that's actually pictures of some of them, that's too bad. All right, so that's all I got to say about that. Again, I'm just stammering around. I'm kind of speechless. I'm not sure what to think about this whole election thing. I do believe Republicans are going to take the House. If they do get the Senate, it's going to be by a slim margin. And of course, the media is going to downplay it, like, oh, they barely took back the House and the Senate, barely did it. So really, they're not very strong. But we can't really, that's not really a very strong win. Well, hey, guess what? You still have control of the House and the Senate. The biggest thing is the House. At least some of this ridiculous spending can be stopped. Maybe they will. The GOP establishment, I have not been impressed. First thing they're going to probably talk about, you watch Kevin McCarthy come out and say, well, the first thing we need to do is get more money to Ukraine. We got to get that straightened up. We got to send another $400 billion over there. And Mitch McConnell, yeah, that's what we got to do. Yeah, let's all do this. Just keep doing that. Just keep pouring that money in there. See, and by the way, what's anybody got a calculator? What's 10% of 40 billion? What is that? Not just a friend wants to know. I'm just asking for a friend. How much that is? Yeah. Okay. Herschel Walker is going to be in a runoff, basically. That's going to decide the Senate. Now, there's several Senate races that could decide the Senate. Mummert, how in the world Mummert lost is beyond me. I just, that again, how people elected Good night, everybody. That was Fetterman. Dr. Oz has conceded the race to Fetterman. Boebert still has chance in one of the closest races in country. So Boebert apparently is in a very close race. I'm not sure. Let's see what this actually says. I didn't realize she was in a tough race. I thought she was doing really well here. Republican Representative Lauren Boebert is trailing in a race that's coming down to the wire. I find that really hard to believe. One of the most watched races that's still undecided after Election Day is Colorado, where Republican... No, of course, it's Colorado. There's issues there, too. Representative Lauren Boebert's re-election bid is under serious threat from Democrat challenger Adam Frisch. I know a guy by the name of Frisch. Frisch held a slight lead over Boebert for much of Tuesday night. By Wednesday afternoon, the gap had narrowed to a razor-thin edge. As of Thursday, just 64 votes stood between Frisch and Boebert, with 99% of the vote accounted for. Yeah, certainly. I'm sure there's no nefarious activity there going on. The final tally is yet to be known, but the race is not expected to go to a runoff. Like most U.S. states, Colorado requires candidates to capture the plurality, not the majority of the vote, to win the office. Moreover, Colorado law requires a recount for any race where the gap between the top two finishers is 0.5% or less. And the current election results show Frisch 50.01 of the vote. Boebert's 49.99%. Photographer captures the scene at Lauren Boebert's watch party, capturing both early excitement and later disbelief as the first wave of election results from the third congressional district. It's unbelievable. And there's a reason it's unbelievable, and it's the reason why it's... But we shouldn't believe it. But I digress. All right. I've babbled along long enough here, and I'm sorry for wasting some of your time, but I appreciate you listening and being in this state of babbled confusion right now, because I think I represent the nation. I think I speak on behalf of the entire nation when I say, true international pressure. I think that's pretty much what the nation is saying right now. I think we're understanding what's going through Joe's mind at this point. Because Corn Pop was a bad dude. I mean, of course he was. The name like Corn Pop. Hey, Corn Pop, what'd you call me? Who picks that for a name? Who picks Corn Pop for a name? Yeah, I'm going to go out and be a street. I'm going to have street cred. I'm going to be tough on the street. I'm going to call myself Corn Pop. Aye, they're always after me Lucky Charms. It sounds like a cereal. Sorry, but that's just not... that doesn't add to your street cred at all. So, I'm not sure. Choose wisely, Grasshopper, or Corn Pop, whoever you are. God bless, folks. Pray for the nation. Pray for what happens in the next few days. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. God bless.